Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City. This is Scalzo and Brust. Presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Edition, hour two of Scalzo and Brust. I'm Justin Garcia in for Greg Scalzo. It's everybody's favorite time of the week. Let's see if we can add somebody else to the laundry list of people smarter than our very own Ben Brust. Today's contestant playing for that $25 gift card is Kyle in Waukesha. Kyle, how confident are you feeling coming into this?
I think I can do it. So not confident at all.
Well, maybe find some of that confidence. In the meantime, let's get set.
For those of you that say Ben Brust is an idiot, well, here's your chance to be proven right. It's time to play Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust?
All right, Kyle, you know the rules?
Yep.
All right, for those that don't, you get 15 questions, 90 seconds to answer those 15 questions. You can say pass if you're unsure. Kyle, are you ready to see if you can be smarter than Ben Brust?
I'm ready.
Joshy, are we good with the timer?
We are good. Kyle, and Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? In 3, 2, 1.
Who became president of the United States on January 20th, 1961?
John F. Kennedy.
Who said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself?
Roosevelt.
What was the name of the van in Scooby-Doo?
Mystery Machine.
What famous Christmas story did Charles Dickens write?
Pass.
What 60s artist was famous for his brightly colored portrayal of everyday objects such as soup cans?
Pass.
Who recorded the album Dark Side of the Moon?
Pink Floyd.
The song My Heart Will Go On came from which movie?
Pass.
What state is called the Cornhusker State?
Nebraska.
What does the C stand for in LCD?
Lithium?
Hartsfield International Airport is in which U.S. state?
Illinois.
If a train leaves the station and travels 60 miles an hour, how much time will it have passed when it arrives at a station 300 miles away?
5 hours.
All right. So we got through 11.
And we got a 6 spot for Kyle there.
Yeah, I feel pretty good. Feel pretty, pretty good.
Were those questions a little harder than normal?
Not for me. I think it also helped that I had a voice this time.
That's right. As I'm welcoming myself back into the program, you were in rough shape last time you did this.
Still got through it.
Apparently.
Did our contestant win that day? He should have.
I think we did.
I tied, actually.
Oh, that was the controversial one.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's always controversy here on Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust?
There's never controversy. I'm always doing things the right way. All right. Am I giving myself the rules, Justin? 15 questions, 90 seconds. Ben Brust, are you ready? Yes, I'm ready.
I was going to get to it. 15 questions.
What did the caller have?
Do you tell him that?
We do sometimes. I'm not today just to annoy him.
No, you'll find out when you're done here.
Give you the keys to the driver.
All right, let's get this going.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Josh, are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Ben Brust and Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? In 3, 2, 1.
Who became president of the United States on January 20th, 1961?
Eisenhower.
Who said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself?
Dalai Lama.
What was the name of the band in Scooby-Doo?
The Something Mobile.
What famous Christmas story did Charles Dickens write?
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
What 60s artist was famous for brightly colored portrayal of everyday objects such as soup cans?
Huh?
Who recorded the album Dark Side of the Moon?
Pearl Jam.
The song My Heart Will Go On came from which movie?
Mulan.
Which state is called the Cornhusker State?
Nebraska. We got one.
What does the C stand for in LCD?
LCD. Central.
Hartsfield International Airport is in which U.S. state?
New Hampshire.
If a train leaves the station and travels at 60 miles per hour, how much time will have passed when it arrives at a station 300 miles away?
5 hours.
How many times can 6 be subtracted from 48?
8. You blew it! 8.
We'll give it to you, but it doesn't matter. That was a 3-spot. That was an all-time limp in from Ben Brust.
I mean, what kind of questions were those, Josh? Did you set me up today?
Those are perfectly answerable questions.
No,
the last one I did was much more difficult.
You look at me in the eyes right now. You turn and look at the camera right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
And tell me that you found those from the 5th grade cards.
They weren't from the 5th grade cards.
See?
They were from Are You Smarter Than questions you can find on the internet for 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade students.
Kids must have gotten a lot smarter.
Or are you getting dumber?
Justin, run through the
all right. So, who became president of the United States on January 20th, 1961? John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, well, why am I supposed to know the
61
date
is, in... I mean, just do the math and when he was assassinated. I mean,
there's some pretty easy.
It's a 4-year term for president. Like, I guess we could ask that.
The 61 threw me off. Even though it's probably supposed to help me.
Yes.
Who said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself? Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Not the Dalai Lama.
What was the name of the van in Scooby-Doo? The mystery.
It's just the mystery?
The mystery machine. I thought you were adding more there.
No, I wouldn't have got it, but I'm glad I got the mystery second time around.
What famous Christmas story did Charles Dickens write? Pretty famous.
I guessed.
Well, we know.
Was it
A Christmas,
Christmas
Carol? What 60s artist was famous for his brightly colored portrayal of everyday objects, such as soup cans?
For the record?
A very famous painting.
Can we, next time, use the word artist, say painter or... Because I thought music artist.
You thought music artist for his portrayal of everyday objects such as soup cans.
It's
brightly colored.
But again, when it's moving fast and you read that question, it starts with which artist. I'm thinking to myself in my head, all right, is this an artist with paint, or is this an artist that sings music? Like, what kind of artist?
60s and soup cans is what we were looking for.
60s
here.
Music was popular in the 60s.
In the 50s, too, I heard.
Andy Warhol, nonetheless, is who we were looking
who
for.
Who is Andy Warhol?
Are you kidding me right now?
No!
One of the most famous American artists
this
ever.
This one I take a great deal of offense to.
Strofe doesn't know him either. So,
Strofe's like 19 and a half years old. This one I take a great deal of offense to, and I'm sure Ron does as well. Who recorded the album Dark Side of the Moon? You said Pearl Jam. It's Pink Floyd.
Yeah, again, I didn't know that, so I had to guess a band that came to my head and keep the train moving along.
The song My Heart Will Go On came from which movie? You do not know this?
Can you sing the song?
I cannot.
This might have been like one of the first times you saw a partially naked woman in a movie.
Strofe, help me out, buddy.
You're here, it's nothing. It's Titanic, Ben.
Titanic, yeah.
Pretty
Rose
big
got
moment.
Naked?
Yeah. Which state is called the Cornhusker State? You got that with Nebraska. What does the C?
But you can put it on the board, baby.
What does the C stand for in LCD?
Lighting.
The C.
Give us the full three if you can hear.
Yeah, I would like to hear all three of these words.
Lighting Central Delivery.
That sounds like a hardware store. We were looking for liquid crystal display, so C, crystal. Call back to yesterday's show with LCD Sound System. Hartsfield International Airport is in which U.S. state?
I guess New Hampshire. Hartsfield, figured country.
What does that mean?
It's just how my brain connects to me.
It's Georgia. You got the train. If a train leaves the station 60 miles an hour.
Is Hartsfield like ATL's airport?
Yes.
That's the busiest airport in the world.
In the world.
Yes.
The train leaves at 60 miles an hour, 300 miles away. It's 5 hours. And how many times can six... He got this one too, didn't he?
Correct.
How many times can six be subtracted from 48? It is 8.
Basically, what I did is I times 6 by 10, got to 60, minus...
What?
Your multiple tables didn't sneak in there?
Can you explain that again?
I times 6 by 10 to get to 60, and then I minus 6 minus 6. For some reason, the tables didn't work out in my brain. It's 8 times 6, 48.
Yeah.
I haven't practiced the flashcards, and plus, they don't do math that way anymore, I'm pretty sure, in schools.
Let's give you 2 for that one.
Thank you. Was that it? Did I miss any questions? Did I get through all 15?
You got through 11 of them.
Saving those. Got to stash them.
The hard part is what did I lose by?
3. You got doubled up.
Oh, you gave him 3?
Yeah, 6-3.
Yeah, and part of my strategy that I went away from today is to get as many questions in as I possibly could and get through all 15 to help my chances at winning, because I know my shooting percentage is low, so you got to get a lot more shots up to get the makes. All right, well, thank you for running that, Justin. You did a tremendous job. And congrats. We didn't even congrats the person. Can you give them a name and place?
Kyle in Waukesha.
Congratulations, Kyle in Waukesha. They were some toughies today, so you definitely should get an extra gold star for your 6th performance today. It's hard to transition after that performance. Josh, just send me to break. This is Scalzo and Brust presented by Bud Light. There's plenty of Packers stuff to hit on the other side.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
We have the hall monitor back on air again.
Right, did he invite himself back?
Back on.
All right, are we going to your wedding or what?
I'll have you guys know I was the master of ceremonies for my E3 graduation from Lake Geneva Middle School.
Hang up on him, please.
Thanks for the call.
Cool.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
should. When in Durbu, walk around the neighborhood, feeling blessed, never stressed.
ESPN Wisconsin presented by Bud Light. Ben Brust here alongside Justin Garcia, who's in for Greg Scalzo. Josh DiMaggio and Alex Strope helping us out running the show. And after just a pathetic performance by me, I will own it in Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust. I am no longer going to be bringing up what my record is because, what is it? It's got to be close to, what, like 7-18 now, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, you haven't won half of the time. That's not even in the consideration. I know that's what you were, like, shooting for. That's not going to happen.
So I just would like to move on, and I will put my best foot forward next Tuesday. Who I'd like to see put their best foot forward on the field is Alan Lazard. And Alan Lazard is not currently at mandatory minicamps because, as Matt LaFleur talked to the media today, he mentioned that only the players that are currently signed are at minicamp, as Alan Lazard is yet to sign his restricted tender, which basically means he is holding out for an extension, or he's basically got to sign that tender because he cannot be moved to a different team at this point. His only options are to get an extension, sign the tender, or sit out. And it's funny that we're playing a game of chicken right now with Alan Lazard, as the wide receiving core for the Green Bay Packers is likely as thin as it's been in Aaron Rodgers' tenure as the Green Bay Packers quarterback. And why I don't understand what Alan Lazard is doing is because he hasn't proven enough to hold out for an extension. I think he's trying to utilize the fact that the Packers are desperate at the wide receiver position to try and get an extension. But let's not forget, Alan Lazard was an undrafted free agent that was signed by the Packers, and he fit the scheme. He blocks well. He's had a couple big games with Aaron Rodgers. But why the hell would you pay Alan Lazard an extension? And I know they're thin, but who says that, like, call me crazy, that a Romeo Doubs or even Juwan Winfrey, I know that sounds crazy to say out loud, but that's what Alan Lazard was before he had a couple good seasons with the Green Bay Packers. What leverage does Alan Lazard have that he thinks he should be getting an extension?
You guys love Romeo Doubs. Like, this is like the 10th time I've heard that.
Everyone loves Romeo Doubs.
Right.
I mean, like, everybody
Romeo Doubs is the Chargers,
Dobbs.
Where everybody look out for the Chargers this year. That's Romeo Doubs and the Packers.
Don't put
yeah,
Romeo Doubs.
What are you poo-pooing for?
Romeo
Doubs. What's your problem with a productive Dobbs. Collegiate wide receiver at Nevada?
Because you need a productive NFL receiver.
Yeah, and in all reports to my inside sources at Lambeau Field have said he has turned heads.
The Twitter timeline?
The Twitter timeline, baby.
Romeo Doubs.
He's making plays.
Hold
he's got speed.
Romeo Doubs,
more,
a great catch.
He's more productive in his college seasons than Christian Watson was. So I'm holding on to as much hope as I can. And again, you can make fun of Romeo Doubs or whatever, but I just don't want to act like Alan Lazard now is the end-all, be-all and should be sitting out for an extension.
No, I agree with that. I mean, it's just merely the Romeo Doubs hype is like, wow. It's like the Tom Cruise
now.
Thing.
800-990-3776. Who's your rookie of the year for the Green Bay Packers? Because it's Romeo Doubs for me and Josh DiMaggio. I can't speak for Greg Scalzo. I think he's still looking for Josiah the Messiah DeGuara to show up and actually produce for the Green Bay Packers. Otherwise, we will ban him from saying Josiah's name. Josh, can we officially bury Josiah the Messiah DeGuara from Greg's vocabulary?
I think when Greg comes back, we need to start a negotiation where, like, through 6 weeks of the season,
that's
Josiah DeGuara has to have X amount of production for us to say his name. Otherwise, it's a fine every time his name gets brought up. Because there's very little to talk about him, but somehow he makes his name into this radio show a few times a week.
I'll let you guys save this for next week. would you give your wife a hall pass for Josiah DeGora to be a Pro Bowler? There you go.
Greg would, yes. Yeah, I'll answer
for him. I don't want to speak for Greg.
No, actually, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not speaking for him on that. 800-990-3776. Who is your Green Bay Packers bold prediction rookie of the year? Again, we're in that stage where we got shorts, we got t-shirts, we got footballs being thrown at practice, the media's there for the first time, and we all get excited about a certain guy, and Romeo Doubs is it. The fourth round draft pick. Who says he can't be the guy? MVS, I believe, was a fifth round draft pick, and it took him a little bit, but MVS by year two led the NFL in yards per reception. So it's not crazy to think, let's turn the narrative now. Aaron Rodgers famously has taken a lot of time to develop rapport with younger wide receivers, but he has dealt no other hand than to deal with not just younger wide receivers, but wide receivers that he has never even worked with. So you can throw Sammy Watkins in there because he's got to build rapport with a lot of these guys other than Randall Cobb, who he basically handpicked to have on this team, who's on it like a vet minimum. Justin, who say you for your Packers Rookie of the Year?
I would go... I think all the defensive rookies are going to make a bigger impact than the offensive. So I'm fine with either one of the two of the impact guys to say one of these. Flip a coin. It's going to be one of those two. I don't think it's going to be offensive.
You hate Romeo. Justin hates Romeo Doubs. Did you know that, Josh?
Breaking news. I think Justin's doing that thing where like a band gets too popular, so now he just doesn't like them out of pure reaction.
Done a lot.
Because like Romeo Doubs is like the only one we've heard anything positive out of. Now, you can make a case very well for Devontae Wyatt or Quay Walker. Yesterday we heard Jason Wilde discuss on this show that Quay Walker didn't really make impact plays. To expect him to kind of make splashy plays is crazy. I like Devontae Wyatt as a possible option just because I think his snaps are guaranteed.
Jason said he looked good in shorts and a t-shirt, Joshy.
Uh-huh.
You're in shorts and t-shirt mode right now.
Devontae Wyatt and I share that in common.
And we're saying Packers Rookie of the Year, not who's most likely to win Rookie of the Year. Yeah, then I would go with that.
What's that?
Yeah.
He's not going to win
Justin,
NFL use Defensive your words. Rookie of the Year.
Who's that, Walker or Wyatt?
Wyatt.
He's going to say you can't choose both.
No, Josh, you just described him.
Strofe, please make this 3-on-4, and you can answer however you feel about Romeo Doubs, but 1 or 0, Romeo Doubs will be the Packers Rookie of the Year.
It's a 0. I like Romeo, though. Don't get me wrong. He's got a tough name. He was solid in college. Romeo Doubs ain't going to be the Rookie of the Year, and I'll tell you why. Ben, there's something I really like in sports, and that's when people have two first names, right? We could talk about several legends in sports that have two first names. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan.
This better go somewhere good.
Is Bryant the first name?
Bryant's don't know not a first any name.
Bryant is a very common first name.
No, absolutely.
That doesn't pass the threshold.
Bryant is like a one
Does
out
LeBron
of like 1,000 people.
You guys
people.
Are like, I buy it
Bryant
from Ben,
is absolutely a first name.
No. Okay.
Bryant Gumbel. Ever heard of him?
You got one.
Yeah, that's one Bryant. And he's old. He's been doing the same show for 30 years on HBO. 800-990-3776. If your name is Bryant, please call in. I'd like to know if there's any out there in the world other than Bryant Gumbel.
Can I continue?
You may now.
Okay, so the Packers drafted two of them, right? Sean Ryan, but Ryan spelled a little bit differently. But there's one guy with the most generic double first name I've ever heard in my entire life, and I think he's going to start for the Packers week one. Zach Tom. His name is Zach Tom. The minute the Packers drafted him, I said, that's my guy. That's him right there, Zach Tom. Toughest name I've ever heard. It's a total trenches name. It's a trenches name. Zach Tom.
Can you tell us the position? You and Justin are very thin on details today. Goodness gracious.
What do you mean?
Fill the audience in.
What did I do? Yeah, we're filling in the edges here.
Justin goes,
Zach.
Stroh goes, I like Zach Tom, yet neither of you guys explained why and what they do for the Green Bay Packers other than grinding.
I just said he's going to start.
At
okay,
what?
My bad, Ben. Offensive
Josh, what are we
line,
doing here?
Either right guard or right tackle. Right guard or right tackle, I would assume. Right side of the line. We've got some injuries.
God.
Do I need to tell you what happened to David Bakhtiari, or do we know he tore his ACL? Do I need to explain that? Or are we past that part?
Beanie and Bayview chimes in. LOL, my brother-in-law is named Bryant. He's 33.
See?
Great show today. Ben in the 920 says, Bryant Big Country Reeves.
Yeah.
Bryant
number
McKinney.
In
there's
your program,
another one.
Number one in your hearts. Bryant McKinney,
yeah, Bryant
the
Reeves
mountain of
a
tackle.
One. Bryant Reeves is a good one. All right. There's okay, but let's meet a common ground here. Bryant's still not a popular first name.
No, it's not Zach Tom.
You think Zach is a popular first name now?
But it's a common first name. I'm done.
That's a legit question.
Zach, so did you have Stroll- your phone?
Hang on. I think you and Stroll both went to...
We
no,
did not.
No, you have... I thought you both went to UW La Crosse, and I was going to put this all to one school.
WIAC. Both yeah, WIAC yeah. schools.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, to round it out, I mean, Romeo... It's a lot like the whole Greta Van Vliet situation where it's just like I liked the idea of it. Now it's already everybody's like, oh, you got to hear them. They sound like Led Zeppelin. I'm over it. That's what's happening here with Romeo.
You're speaking French to Ben.
Yeah. 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 Zed Leplin. You know,
great joke. Can we go to break?
You.
I got to get
Thank
out of
you.
Here.
No, we can't go to break because I have to tell people about Screamin' Sicilian Pizza.
Woo!
Because it's screaming good, Joshy. That's right, baby. From the original OG stone-fired buttery crust with the unbelievable secret tomato recipe sauce, the unbelievable whole milk mozzarella cheese, and not to mention the unlimited. It feels unlimited. I know that's crazy. You can't have unlimited toppings on a pizza, but it feels like it when you have a Screamin' Sicilian Pizza. My number one right now, the mother of meat. You got the pepperoni, the ham, the bacon, the Italian sausage. Oh, baby, give me the mother of meat 10 times a day and I will be happy. You got the holy pepperoni. You got the Supremus Maximus, the thin and crispy. They all get the job done. Find your Screamin' pleasure in your local grocer's freezer. I am playing in the American Family Insurance Pro-Am tomorrow.
Cool.
So, I would like to explain what I'm most nervous about for that Pro-Am, coming up next on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
What's your favorite type of art?
What types are there?
Do you have a favorite artist?
Van Gogh.
There is no to everything. No.
Nothing about Van Gogh except he's missing an ear.
Yep.
That's why he's my favorite.
I was going to see how many questions I could get to prove what an art fraud is.
I'm not an art fraud. I just think art is dumb, but I love art.
Can you love something and think it's dumb all in the same?
Absolutely. A lot of people love me.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Love the early support from Miles and Madison. Good luck tomorrow, Ben, as I go on the journey of playing in the American Family Insurance Pro-Am tomorrow. Go ahead, Josh.
Cool.
Ah, cool button's not up and ready. So it got me thinking because last year,
cool.
I had the opportunity to play with tournament host Steve Stricker.
Cool.
Okay, don't do this. You two yesterday bragged about being in the suite for the Milwaukee Brewers game.
Yeah, we were bonding as teammates.
I mean, you guys drop that all show long. I start one segment with a couple brags, and I'm the bad guy?
Yeah. Steve Stricker taught me how to golf.
Well, that's where it gets interesting, is attempted to teach me how to play golf. I kind of got frustrated because... Steve like was trying to help with like my hand position on my grip, and like I was playing okay, I wasn't playing great, and like I haven't played that much this year. It's not as much as I've liked to, so I'm trying to get, you know, some golf lessons over at Fairways of Woodside. Want to get my golf swing where it needs to be. But Steve Stricker tried helping me during the Pro-Am last year, and then it got worse. So it's like, what was I supposed to do? Like, not keep trying what he was teaching me? Wait, he's one of the best golfers.
Are you blaming Steve Stricker for your decline in golf? Does he know this?
No. Just for the decline that round. Like the round was going, like, okay. It wasn't going great. But then it went bad. No, I didn't tell him this, Josh. I was like, Steve, thanks for messing up
Steve,
my round.
What the
heck? I was like, Steve, thanks for the tips. You know, I'm going to hit the range and work on these. Didn't do that. Is there anything worse than getting golf tips in the middle of playing golf?
So,
because the guy that's like, all right, stand a little bit closer to the ball or back up a little bit, you know, widen the stance, you know, keep your head down. You're looking up. It's like, come on, Steve, I stink. You're not going to help me.
This is a little different because it's usually at like pro-ams where maybe it comes from a genuine spot for the most part.
Well,
but
I'll tell you what happened, Justin. His wife noticed that my grip was weak.
All right, never mind.
And she caddies for him on the tour. And so I think I overheard her say something like, you gotta bleep and fix that.
So
like,
his wife was mansplaining to you how to golf.
No. His wife told Steve, you have to tell him how to grip the club better.
So usually I've found golf tips never come from a good spot. Like, they don't genuinely care.
I think this came from a good spot.
Well,
I just
pro-ams are pro-ams are the outlier. Like, when you're at the course and you're at the municipal course and you're just golfing with your buddies and somebody comes up to you like, hey, I noticed you should try to center the ball a little more in your stance and do this. Like,
yeah, put it in their back foot.
Yeah, they are bragging and showing off to you like, I fancy myself a good golfer and you not. So I just want you to know I think I'm better than you.
So you don't take kind to golf tips.
I don't even listen. I just, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I got it.
I want to kind of put a pause on one second. Are you contending, Ben, that you would prefer 12-time PGA Tour victor Steve Stricker to not give you tips to improve your golf game? Because I'm thinking, when I get tips, I don't want to hear it, because I just watched that guy slice one two fairways over that's giving me the tip. Like, okay, buddy, you might have noticed something, but you don't got this figured out. If somebody's won one PGA Tour event, I'm probably going to take what they have to say seriously. But it sounds like you're saying, hey, Steve, buzz off. Just let me get through the round.
So, the truth lies in the middle, Jack. No. Both of you don't.
Dude, we're on the 12th hole.
You better. So, the tip started at hole 3. And so, hole 3 through hole 12, like, we were having conversation after each hit. He goes, that was better. That was progress.
Oh, that's the worst.
And by hole 12, he gave up on me.
Yeah, I mean, that's so condescending.
Hole 12 through 18. Yeah, like, sooner or later, like, the results didn't shift good enough to, like, warrant a conversation after the hit.
What's worse, though? The person that gives you unsolicited golf tips, or the person that gives you, like, unsolicited...
Or Steve Stricker, like, the nicest man in the world trying to help me, who gives up on you?
Well, you insulted him.
That's not a good feeling.
Unsolicited golf tips or unsolicited cooking advice. Like, well, you know, you should not flip that so many times, and you should do this, and, oh, do you have a thermometer to check this? Like, I got this. I'm fine. I had this yesterday.
Well,
I know what I'm doing here.
It depends. You know, I haven't had your cooking. So I'm not going to lie, Justin. If you invited me over for dinner one night and your cooking stunk, you bet your bottom, I'm standing over your shoulder giving you advice on how to make sure that the meal is better prepared.
Now, what if somebody came up to you at the Princeton Club, had no idea who you were, and said, you know, I noticed there's a little bit of a hitch in your stroke there. When you shoot the ball, you should... What if somebody came up to you and tried to give you shooting advice?
Oh, man. Gosh.
How many words would you say before Wisconsin Badgers?
Josh, you're such a jerk.
Shot versus Michigan.
The misconception of me being that, like... Can I say douche?
Yes.
Well, I'm not that dude. I may sometimes come across like that on the airwaves, but gosh, I might pull it there.
I mean, in that situation, I would fully give you
your warranty to do that. Like, that would be fine. Like,
that's not even me picking on you. That's being, hey, buddy, I got this thing figured out.
I'm just curious how long you let him go before it's like. Yeah, I think
I would let him go pretty far just to see what he would say. You know, just to see if there's anything that he said was right. This reminds me of when I tried out to be a model, and it's not like it's
cool.
I know this is kind of a strange aside.
They have tryouts for that.
This is why it's funny. So my sister-in-law found a Facebook ad that said, looking for... I'm telling this story on the other side.
Because
this is a good story. No. This is a good story. This is a really good story. And you guys are going to have your mind blown next on Scalzo and Brust presented by Bud Light. I was a model because of that Facebook ad. And I'll tell you how it happened.
Cool.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
The question I get the most doing this show with you, Ben Brust.
Yeah, what's that?
Is Ben really that dumb or is it an act? And I have the same answer every time. It's Ben's not dumb at all. He's actually pretty smart. He just doesn't know things.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Garcia and Josh DiMaggio don't believe that I was a male model courtesy of a Facebook ad, but it is true, and I look forward to telling you why. This is Scalzo and Brust presented by Bud Light on a beautiful Tuesday. I'm about to head to the American Family Insurance Championship Pro-Am's pairings party. Gosh, I'm excited. I'm trying to just brag like you guys did all day yesterday about going to the Brewers game in the suite. And I find out who I play with tomorrow, which led to the conversation of somebody potentially giving me advice on a basketball shot and how long it would take me to tell them that I don't need their advice because I played for the Badgers. I wouldn't normally pull that, but in that scenario, they granted me permission to do so. Here's one other time where I felt like I had permission to brag about my basketball resume. My sister-in-law found a Facebook ad that said, looking for male basketball experience, age 23 to 27. I was 25 at the time, so I fit right in that window. And so I went to downtown Chicago where this tryout was, and I signed up, and they asked for your name, your age, and what modeling agency you come, and they wrote it on a whiteboard. So it said Ben Brust, 25, and said off the street, because I didn't have a modeling agency representing me. And it turns out, I went through the pictures, and then there was a video interview. And it said, and they asked me in the video interview, please tell me about your basketball experience. And that is where I needed to separate myself from all the handsome, strong young men there trying out, because they only had probably high school basketball was the max level. And so I rattled it off. Well, I was second team All-State in high school. I set the all-time three-point record at Wisconsin, played in the Final Four, and played professionally overseas. And I did it 10 times better because
net worth is $3 million.
It's up to 1-4 on Google,
yeah,
Justin.
Get it right, buddy.
And so I bragged about that, and I got the call to the next casting. The next casting happened to be with a company shooting a video for UW Health and Quartz. And so what are the chances that my sister-in-law's Facebook ad needs a basketball player my age? I go to the casting. I make it to the next round. I show up, and the guy who I'm now friends with, who produced the commercial, wanted to just make sure this wasn't like a scam, that I actually wanted to be a part of the commercial and that I was really Ben Brust. And I was, and I did the commercial, and I was on TV for Quartz as a part of that commercial. So I felt like that was an okay spot to brag, was it not?
What did he think the scam was exactly? Like you were lying that actually Ben Brust?
Yeah, like why would I want to be a model?
Kind of a good question.
Like, I've done other modeling. I did modeling for Spalding. Josh, cool. You've seen those of me dunking on 10-foot hoops?
Yeah, on 8-footers. Yeah, I did see that.
They weren't 8 feet. They were 9.5.
What's the worst scam you ever fell for?
The worst scam I ever fell for? I don't fall for scams. The worst scam that Greg Scalzo ever fell for was my Christmas gift last year. He bought a pair of headphones off of a website, which the invoice number was 1234567 89. And I believe that website no longer exists. He lost a good chunk of money, and he had to buy me a nice set of Beats headphones elsewhere.
Now, in fairness, that invoice does exist somewhere. There is an invoice that's 1234567 89.
Josh, I think the invoice number might have been even worse than that. It might have been 0000001.
Yes, it was very clear that the once Greg read the invoice off, he looked at both Ben and I and was like, huh.
He's like,
that makes a lot of sense.
Have you been scammed?
The closest I've gotten is like when you were, I think I was still in college and you need, or first job afterwards, something like that. When everybody falls for the same ads of like great sales opportunity and whatever, and you show up and you realize, why do I have to sit here for a 2-hour meeting? And oh, I get to go sell vacuums door to door. So I wasted an afternoon with that. But that was the closest I've gotten to being scammed.
Now, I don't know if I would qualify this as scam, because the Scalzo and Bruss family had mentioned that I was a hero that day. But, Justin, I don't know if you know this. The day that I went to go get dinner with you at the Calderon Club, well, I showed up a little bit late.
I did notice.
Did you know what happened? I went to an ATM for $60 to give to a man that told me a story about how he needed to get to Racine and feed his family, and he knew exactly where the ATM was, and that's when I kind of figured out.
Is he right outside the Calderon Club?
He sure was.
Yeah, I walked past him on the way in.
Did you have any conversation with
Absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely. Just, hey, sorry, man, I don't have any cash.
I didn't have cash either, but he gave me a really, really good story, and whether you consider it scam or not, I hope that $60 went to a really good place.
Ben, have you given somebody money since this happened? Or did everybody telling you you got scammed kind of scar you and turn your heart a little against it?
No, I've now been overdoing it still.
what does that mean?
I play in a basketball league in which there's a fee that you pay, like, up front for, like, the league each session.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the session, I Venmo'd the guy who ran the league $15. And I just said thanks as, like, the Venmo. And he texted me the next day. He goes, what is this? I go, a tip for running
you
the league.
Tipped him 15.
A 50? You didn't even give him a 20 skin?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get tips. He was shocked that he even got money from me, I feel like that was a good gesture.
Were the league dues three figures?
Like 140 for 8 weeks.
And you tipped him $15?
It's not even 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't get anything anyway.
I'm betting.
You're a cheapskate.
Just piggybacking off of your story of dinner and may or may not have been duped, and this is not coming from a position of privilege. I'm just curious. The whole shift to cashless and Venmo, that has to have really crippled the right.
Yes. I don't know what you want us to say.
I don't
say
know how you want me to phrase it.
I don't know what you're looking for here, Justin. You walked us down a dead end road.
The population asking
every time
for
I'm asked,
cash on the
I don't
streets
have any
is hurting,
cash.
Justin. You're such an idiot.
It's a genuine response, and I'm asked, sorry, I don't have any cash, because I don't, but I would imagine a lot of people are like that.
So why don't you say, do you got a Venmo?
I mean, sure, I could.
That would be a heady play. Actually, if I see anybody asking for money on the street that has their QR code on their shirt, that would be next level thinking, and I'm all about that. Justin Garcia, thanks for hanging out with me Friday, Monday, and today. I will see you, or actually I won't see you, I'll see you on video, because I will be live from the American Family Insurance Championship on Friday. Justin will be here. We got Spain and Fitz up next across ESPN Wisconsin. Go Ben Brust in the Pro-Am tomorrow.
No?